And welcome back to another episode of You Reaching or Teaching. I am your host, Derek.
And I'm your boy, Aaron.
And this is episode 10. You know, we back for a good one. How you feeling today, my boy?
I'm good. Just
got to, you know, you shining, man.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I said, damn, nigga. I don't think I looked over before we started talking. I said, okay.
We got the light on.
Yeah. Okay, how you feeling, man?
I'm good. I'm glad it's spring break this week.
True.
So true. I still got like classwork to do, but it's nice to just know that that's all I got to do.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. It's been a good weekend for local basketball anyway.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Prince Edward 12U team winning their championship, James River District. Shout out to y'all. Longwood is currently, while we record right now, Longwood is currently playing in the Big South final today, and they are currently up, so y'all keep it up. Punch that ticket for March Madness. Mm-hmm. And then shout out to Hampton Senior College as well. They made it to their Final Four in the Division III tournament, so there's a lot of good basketball going on in the area, man.
Yep, and shout out to the Longwood women's team.
Yep, yep, facts.
Even though they are not moving forward, they still will be moving forward. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. And shout out to all the state champions this season, man. I definitely started watching. I watched a lot of the games, high school games. It was some good basketball. It was one game. I watched a couple of Hampton games, and they was always in a battle. They did win their club division as well, but
congratulations.
Yeah, it was some good games. But speaking of the 7-5, definitely want to give a shout out to Virginia's own Allen Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
You know, well, first the 76ers are giving him a statue finally. That will be on April 12th, and then like this past week he was honored in the 757 Newport News with his own street name, mm-hmm. Allen Iverson Way. So big shout out to AI. We ain't talking about technology. You already know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
That was good. I like that.
But yeah, AI, man, he brought the culture to basketball for real. He's definitely on my Mount Rushmore when he's talking about most influential.
Mm.
Probably most. But yeah, how about you? Is he on yours? I think we talked about this before.
I wouldn't put him on mine.
Where do we fall?
For most influential, I would put him in like my top 10. I wouldn't put him on my Mount Rushmore, but I can see why others put him on their Mount Rushmore. That's one of those ones where I get it. You know, someone like having LeBron on Mount Rushmore, I completely disagree with it.
Yeah, that's.
But like Allen Iverson, I'm like, I can see it. So
yeah,
it's definitely you have to acknowledge his influence. Regardless, because that's what he did.
Yeah.
He did influence a lot. So he's just getting the roses before he gone. So yeah. That's good.
Facts. So big shout out to him. Also sticking with the short guards here, you know, gotta big up the short guards, man. Isaiah Thomas was signed to a G League team, Salt Lake City Stars, in his first return back. He scored 32 points, so I've been saying like a team should give him a chance in the NBA, whether it's a backup or what. But
mm-hmm.
I'm just glad he's getting the opportunity now. Hopefully he get a call up this season. Well, if he was Salt Lake, he probably won't. But I think that's the difference, because I think with G League,
mm-hmm.
you can be brought up with any team, even though you're associated with this.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he'll continue balling, and you maybe called up for a team.
Yeah, but I hate how people, a lot of casuals just want to dismiss him because of his height.
That's what I don't like either.
It's like, oh, he's a 5'8 defensive liability. And let's be real.
He's no better, I mean, so better than Steph.
Steph Curry is a 6'3 defensive liability.
Yeah.
Ooh. Like, Jordan Poole is the 6'2 defensive liability. I can keep going and going and going. So him always getting dismissed of that because is ridiculous, because he shoots the ball well. He controls the pace of the game very well. He's a great teammate, and you need that morale for your team. Plus, realistically, he is one of the best fourth quarter performers.
Exactly.
Like, he's clutch. I wouldn't want that on my team. Okay, cool. He may get cooked by the other team's point guard, but he gonna give them buckets just right back. So I think that I've been saying personally, I wish that he was on the Mavericks, because even though I like Luka, I think that they need a more clutch scorer. So I wish that he was on that team personally. That was before they got Kyrie, but I can see him coming off the bench, being the seventh man. And in the closing lineup for like at least 5-6 teams right now.
Yeah, for sure. When you look at, let's just look at like the top 6 teams in each conference. So you got Boston, Cleveland, Bucks, Knicks, Orlando, and Heat. And then in the West, you have Thunder, Wolves, Nuggets, Clippers, Pelicans, and Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I'm going back to the Kings too.
I could put him back on the Kings right now.
Yeah,
like him closing lineup with him, De'Aaron, Sabonis.
Cause you have him, and Malik coming off the bench, mm-hmm. and you know what Monk gonna give you.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying.
And that way, realistically, with that, IT can come off the bench and give you 6 assists. 5 of them gonna go to Monk, maybe 4 at the least. And I can see him giving you like a good 10, 11 points off the bench for that team. Sacramento ain't a terrible move.
It's not.
Sacramento, I really could see him in OKC too. Help that young core, even though they're doing good, give them another vet. I could see him in, even though they're not, I don't think no one's thinking they're going to go far, Orlando, because Jalen Suggs ain't doing nothing.
Yeah.
I'd rather have IT right now. I could see him on the Clippers. But they got Russ.
I don't see him.
I said I could see him on the Clippers, but that's why I said they got Russ.
They got too much stuff going on over there.
Yeah. Like if they was in a better situation.
Yeah.
But
too many guards over there, in my opinion.
That's fair to say. There's teams in which he can work. Shit, he can go to Toronto. Like
I mean, why not Thunder?
Why not the Thunder?
A veteran presence mm-hmm. on the team. I mean, I would say they just missing that one. Like, how long has Shea been in the league?
I think Shea been in the league.
He would be considered a veteran, but
I think he been in the league by 6 years.
Yeah,
5-6 years.
I think they need somebody that was in the league before that.
Yeah,
they'll be on that team.
Because realistically, I would have him in my closing lineup for OKC because Josh Giddey is not great in the fourth quarter.
Look, ever since those allegations came out, you've been trash.
Yeah,
nigga.
My guy.
Trash.
I think that has affected his game.
It had to.
Because Josh Giddey realistically can get you a triple double.
Yeah, because he was a lock when it comes to like this betting stuff.
Yeah,
it was definitely good for at least 6 rebounds and 6 assists.
And 12 points.
I'm about to say, and he'll get that easily too. He'll mm-hmm. sometimes get that first half.
Yeah.
But now he's like.
Yeah, I do. I think that's affected him. But now, if you were to bring IT up, your closing lineup could be IT, move Shea to the 2, have Lou Dort still at the 3, then Chet, and whatchamacallit? Forgetting the brother's name.
Williams?
Williams, yeah. And that'd be your closing lineup right there because Williams, Chet got your defense. We all know what Shea can do. Mm-hmm. And Lou Dort definitely got you on defense. He'll lock down anybody.
That's facts.
And then, realistically, you put IT in an ISO situation, that's his game.
Yeah, that is.
I think that's a good move.
But similar to, like you said, he may be a liability on a defensive end, but ain't, especially a prime IT, ain't a lot of people staying in front of him either.
No.
And even now, because I remember Jamal Crawford was talking about it, but he's been constantly staying in shape, like mm-hmm. so he's, I mean, first game back, dropped 32. Just imagine if he constantly doing that, you yeah. know. And he's not even that old.
No, like, IT's really not that like, old.
What, early 30s?
I think he's 32.
Yeah, 32. So he got a good 3 years. I think he got a good 3 years to give you high productivity on the team. I wasn't gonna bring this up, but I did see something. Someone mentioned the Magic. Well, they didn't really mention the Magic, but Paolo. Mm-hmm. And they was pretty much saying he's probably like one of the most like disrespected first overall picks because he's, this is second year. Mm-hmm. He have his team, well, he turned the team around, mm-hmm. have the team in the playoffs currently, and they really get no type of media coverage.
Yeah, they don't.
Like, you don't hear anyone, like, you don't hear anyone talk. And they're not necessarily a small market team.
No.
So it's
like, they're like middle of the pack.
Yeah, middle of the pack. But it's kind of weird that you don't really hear anything about them.
I think it's because for the past, for a long time now, they've been ass.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing happened with Sacramento. Now we giving them attention,
yeah,
because they doing good. They got they. I don't want to say they won, but they were a victor in that trade with Indiana. But you got Sabonis giving you a triple doubles like nothing. Fox looking like prime Mike Conley, just a better, a little taller and
quicker too.
And quicker,
yeah.
They've been
left-handed motherfuckers.
Yeah,
I can't stand guarding y'all, man. I swear I can't stand guarding
y'all. But then it's like now they getting they shine, they getting their attention. But how long has it been since then? Since when Chris Webber was on the team?
It's been a while.
So the Magic, they ain't really getting nothing since Dwight was there. So I give it a few more years. They'll start getting a little bit more of the Sacramento treatment. Like, okay, you are a threat. You are a good team.
Yeah.
But it's just because it's like, I don't got a good analogy right now, but that's just it. It's like, bro, you've been bad for so long. We're not used to you being good.
Yeah.
So
that is true. But I don't know. I'm going to give it, like you said, I'm going to give it some time. But it's kind of, oh, what the fuck was that? yeah, my computer tripped.
They heard you.
Yeah.
It was like Isaiah Thomas to the thunder. That got leaked out to the GM.
Right. Let me find out. I want my cut and whatever decisions made.
Look, I just want y'all to know, after we be done with the show, something newsworthy happens.
Always. It always happens. Like, as soon as he walks out the door, something comes on my phone. I'll be like, look at this shit. We should have talked about this. It'd be that, or by the time, like, we finish or discuss some shit, you'll see it on like another, like the like a conversation that we've had. You'll mm-hmm. see it happen or another platform or something like that. Like,
yeah. Man,
well, I wish they saw us first. You know what I'm saying? Because it always happens.
Because it's like, I don't know if you like have caught on to it. A lot of podcasts, they record on Sundays too.
Mm-hmm.
They record on Sundays and Tuesdays.
Yeah.
So their content be out either that night or right Monday morning.
Well,
so we just within the algorithm.
Man, I love me. I'm gonna hire somebody to do this shit one day. God damn. Put it out like we need this shit out the hour after. Like, as soon as we finish, post it, nigga.
Yep, by 3:00, put it out there. No later.
Yeah. But I know y'all been on, I know somebody asked like for a live or something like that one time. So we'll definitely do a couple lives. You know, like at least once a month or something like that.
Definitely.
Especially with the tournament stuff about to happen, playoffs about to start.
Yeah.
We can't wait 2 weeks
to
talk about the shit that's about to happen. We cannot wait 2 weeks to talk about the shit that's about to happen because this month is about to be crazy.
It is. March and all of April.
But I did want to. But it's kind of like, but just going back to the Paolo thing, it's like kind of seeing how, I don't know if it's a personality thing, but just seeing how the NBA promotes their players or want to push certain players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course, the Ant, he has a way bigger personality than Paolo. But then you have
Oh, you mean Ben Carroll?
Huh?
You said Paolo. I thought you meant Bancaro, Pablo Bancaro.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then Wimby coming in, which he done cussed 2-3 times on TV already.
He just don't care.
Yeah, he don't even care at bullshit. All. But you can. I mean, with a specimen like him, and then you see his brother.
Yeah,
is 6'8". What is he, a sophomore or something like that?
Yes, a sophomore high school.
But yeah, you have a prospect like that coming to NBA, it's easy to start marketing him. But I'm not sure where they skipped him at. But we'll see. We'll see. If the Magic continue to play how they playing for like the next 2-3 years, then
yeah,
maybe they'll get some press going.
It's true.
What else? So moving on. So another thing that happened is LeBron. Let me not get to LeBron yet.
Okay.
It was some other stuff. Luka, snapping. Six straight
MVP,
30-point triple double,
first ever.
That's crazy. He's balling. He's on another level, but I think he's on another level. But the team defense just need to come together. Like, they need a better defense on that team, and they would have a good chance in the playoffs.
Yeah, they do need better defense. It's just, I wonder what they're going to give up for that, though. Because I'm not giving up that, the young big they got. I'm not giving that up. He got too much potential for that team. But I'm looking around the league. I'm like, okay, who's a good defensive small forward that we can just inject into that line? Or a really good defensive power forward we can just have in that lineup, like, right now?
Yeah.
That's you know, you don't, it's crazy because the way some of these teams think, it's like, you don't want to take a chance on Joe Schmo, even though he does fit what you need, but you're looking at the name, but then you go get the name, and then it don't work out.
And I think that's a problem I've been having when it comes to, like, a star defensive player. Mm-hmm. Of course, we always go to, like, a Kawhi or anything like that. I feel like those players are in their back end of their career now, so. Yeah. So usually when you talk about like a defensive guy, you talk about like a Pat, which he's coming off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about Gary Payton Jr.
Yeah.
He's not a star player. What's that guy? The Kings got a guy.
What's his name?
Mitchell. Mitchell.
Davion Mitchell.
Mitchell, yeah. He's a dog.
Yeah.
What's another? Carter.
Which one? Javon?
Yeah.
Oh, Javon Carter. Oh, yeah.
Like good perimeter defensive players. Mm. You can't find many stars. Like, I don't know. I feel like you gotta get the role players.
Yeah.
If you want your team defense to be better and not necessarily a star player anymore.
I agree. It's realistically, Scotty Barnes could fit with Dallas. But you got to give up Kyrie.
Yeah, you got to give up somebody.
Because Scottie Barnes, he's a good defender. Like, he's great offensively, but he's not, like, the best defender, but he can make something happen. OG Anunoby, that would have been an interesting fit if he was in Dallas for them. Mm-hmm. But Luka getting all these triple-doubles, it's amazing that he's doing it. And the team is doing good, and they're feeding off that morale. But he can't do that for 30 games straight.
Right.
Like, no, I don't think anybody can. I don't even think Jordan could do that.
Only person can do that is Wilt.
Yeah.
Really? Only person that could do that is Wilt Chamberlain.
Only person.
I don't care what you say.
God. But I think it's like 98%, wow, this is wonderful, but 2% like, okay, when these triple doubles are happening like this, it's either one or two things, or sometimes it's both. Mm-hmm. Either he's just that great, or he's filling in a gap that needs to be filled in by somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is one of those things where two things are true at the same time. Luka is a great offensive machine.
Or do you think he's filling a gap? I mean, we can say that because we can look at the team and what they need.
Yeah.
Or do you just think that's his style of play right now? Especially because we can say that about Russ, too.
Yeah.
It'd be like, nah, that's just what he do. But is him getting these triple doubles good for the team? Because I don't know. God, let me look it up. Because I think I'm not sure how many games they've won those past six games.
Oh, a lot of triple double.
Yeah. So let's go to the Mavericks, who are currently eighth. So they just won yesterday against the Pistons. They should have, of course.
Oh, of course, he's supposed to win that game.
So the last
Detroit do better.
So the last six games, they are
I'm looking
right now.
Two and
I'm looking for
you to get it.
Oh, 3-3.
They're 3-3.
Yeah.
Okay, so they
3-3. So they lost against Celtics, 76ers, and the Pacers.
Okay.
Then they beat the Heat. They won against the Pistons yesterday. And then they beat the Raptors.
Okay.
In February, the end of February.
Well, it's tough to say, like, is the triple-doubles good for the team or not? Because, you know, if we look at Russ, Russ realistically had to do it in OKC. Because,
yeah.
And after KD left, who is the next player up?
Yeah,
because Andre Robinson couldn't shoot a gun. Steven Adams, he's not really an offensive guy, but he getting you about 10 and 11, 8 and 12, which is helpful. But Russ had to give that extra. But I think when he did it with the Wizards, I think that's just him now. Because it was a team that, like, you had Bradley Beal, so you had somebody. But that was one of those things where it just went over and it just flourished.
Yeah.
Even more than what it was. But I think he had to do it in OKC. Because, like, the year they got, he won MVP, they were the sixth seed.
Yeah.
And he was averaging a triple-double. But with somebody like Luka, I think it's more so, with Russ, it went from he had to this is just him. To Luka, I think it's just him. But he also has to.
Yeah. But do you think he can delegate some of that? He should be able to delegate some of that to Kyrie.
Because
I know one thing. Because with Luka, he's not a fast-paced person.
No.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not necessarily good off the ball.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. He's not really good off the ball. He ain't going to do all the cutting and running around trying to get open. That's Kyrie.
Yeah.
So it's good to have Luka with the ball at that moment. But at the same time, like, maybe you want to switch the tempo of the game. And you should give Kyrie, like, Kyrie run the offense for maybe, like, 3 or 4 possessions. And then, okay, you want to slow it back down? Cool, you got it.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not sure, because I've watched some of the games. I'm not sure if they do this now or not. So y'all let me know in the comments. But yeah, I feel like just the tempo of the game is slower when Luka has the ball in his hands. And of course, he's amazing with it. Like,
yeah.
even as slow as he is, that shit look amazing. Same with Joker, you know what I'm saying? Like, but you know, I feel like with certain teams, you can't. Continue to run at that pace.
Yeah, because I think what helped was getting was it Bridges on the team?
Because
I forgot who they recently got from Charlotte. Because they traded Robert.
Robert. Who did they get?
PJ Washington.
Washington. Yeah.
Yeah, I think getting PJ Washington was good to help with momentum and defense.
Mm-hmm.
There still needs to be a better defensive team, but I think him being that spark plug helps Luka's triple doubles get even more attention catching. So instead of it being like 20, 10, and 10, it's like 35, 15, and 13. Because now you worried about Luka jacking up or driving, you forget Kyrie open, you forget PJ Washington open, or you get Tim Hardaway Jr. open. So that's where it's been helpful, but they still need a better defender. But I think the triple doubles, even though they are a highlight of Luka and we could see where the team needs to be better, it's still amazing that he's doing it.
Yeah. I agree. So let's Luka's still holding that top spot in your MVP, huh?
Hell yeah, he's still holding it down right here. Luka,
he's making a case. Look, definitely making a case.
I was thinking this the other day. If Luka doesn't get it this year, if he doesn't get it this year or next year, he's never gonna get it. He's gonna be D-weighted. He's gonna get the D-Wade treatment, where you were phenomenal, you did great things, but you don't get an MVP.
I don't know. I feel. I can't.
Bro, come on now.
I can't agree. The reason why I can't agree to that because D-Wade grew up in a tough era. Mm-hmm. He was never going to be, even in his prime, he was never going to be the best shooting guard because Kobe was still in the league. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And like even because I remember, Gil's Arena, someone made the best of the 2000s and the best of the 2010s, and they were like first team for both of those. And just looking at those names, it's like, man, D-Wade is a dog, but like, he still won't better than Kobe.
Nope.
You maybe 1 year you could put him over LeBron, but he still won't better than LeBron. And especially like early 2000, like before his championship, people like Steve Nash or Tim Duncan, like it would be hard for Wade to.
Yeah.
So if you're not the best in your position. Luka got a case. He's going to be the best in his position every single year.
Yeah.
And then with that, it boosts him up for being the best player in the league. So it's hard. It's hard for me to agree with that because I think he'll win one, even if he don't win this year, just because his talent.
Yeah, it's just tough, though, because I want him to get it. I want him to win it. And
the league has shifted where it's not necessarily, like, Wade was a defensive player. Mm-hmm. Like, most of those players in the early 2000 was defensive players. Mm-hmm. But now, since it's more of a scoring league and what you can do on the offensive end, now you're going to... Nanny, he's fit for this era.
Yeah, he is. It's going to be tough because... I just don't think the league wants to give it to him. I don't know. I think, like, they really didn't want to give it to Embiid, but they did it to, like, all right, here, damn.
Like, but you, stand your ass.
I'm saying, take it. Shit. Like, it's him. You still got Joker. You still got Giannis, SGA, Ja.
I guess I can agree with that.
Like, I think that they would look at somebody like a Jason Tatum, and, like, Jason Tatum averaging, like, 28, 9-7, but Luka get you 33-10-9, and it's like, well, we really like Jason.
I think it might be an issue of American basketball versus European basketball. Like, they probably tired of giving the MVP to a foreigner.
It's been a
like we trying to push Ja fucked it up. Was trying to push him a little bit. Now I can see Ant. But, you know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers coming over here just running the league, and I can't necessarily market them like I want to. So it's like, even though they are doing great things, I can't give you this accolade.
Yeah. That's what I mean, I get it. That's what I'm saying. Like, they didn't want to give it to Embiid. They was cool giving it to Joker, but even then, it was like a... Well, yeah. I guess he deserved it.
Yeah.
But with Embiid, it was like an iron nail.
Just imagine if Jokic would have got three back-to-back MVPs.
He would have been the first since Bird to get that.
Yeah, they didn't want that.
Man.
They didn't want that.
No, but it's just, if he don't get it in the next 2 years, he's never going to get it. But I can see why you disagree, though. I think, I hope I'm wrong.
And he's still young, man.
Yeah, he's still young.
He just turned 25, man. He just turned 25. And I feel like I don't think he'll ever get faster or anything like that. What we see from Luka is what we see from Luka. But I think if he, get his footwork better and improve on the defensive end. And just be a better perimeter player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he got a chance.
Well, thank you for being here. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. But What else? Dame just passed Reggie Miller. Mm-hmm. All-time three-point made list.
Congratulations.
Currently at number four, right behind James Harden. Let's go ahead and get to LeBron. LeBron becomes the first player in NBA history to score 40,000 points.
Congratulations.
You know, shout out to LeBron. I mean, that just speaks on the longevity of his career.
It does.
Who you think there's anybody? And before I even ask that, AD, stop lying to the camera, bro. They ask that man, who else you think can reach 40,000? This man said Steph. No disrespect to Steph. Mm. But he had like 23,000 points right now.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, Steph is a great shooter. He's not getting 40,000 by the end of his career, bro.
By the end of his career, Steph could probably.
He'll probably crack 30.
Yeah.
Probably.
I say the peak is like 28,000.
Yeah.
Like 28,000,
29,000. But yeah, after this year, I don't see him remain at that high of score.
No, I think that in the next, for me with Steph, the next 2 years, he's not going to be a 27, 26 point game score no more. Mm-mm. And that's okay.
That's fine.
And that happens.
Yep, it happens. I would say, the person I would say is Luka. Mm. Because a lot of...
Because
he reached the 10,000 point mark early. The fastest. Mm-hmm. Like, when you talk about just the games played. So I think he reached it like 30. I think it was like 30 games before LeBron reached 10,000. Mm-hmm. So 30 games is a lot.
Yeah, it is.
And then you're talking about the scoring era right now. Shoot 30 games. If he's averaging 34 points right now, let me just pick that to 30. That's 900 points in 30 games right there.
Yep.
So, I got Luka.
Yeah, I'm a rock with that one.
I got Luka. I don't really see nobody else doing it. Maybe Jason Tatum.
I was going to say Wimby.
Wimby got a chance. Man, I see Wimby, man. Mm. I'm sorry. I'm a fan, bro. Like, we was talking early in the season, and I was like, I just need that 5 games, bro. What I've been seeing now, though, is like, oh, he's going to be scary because he's figuring out the lead.
He is.
I think Pop is just prepping him for what's to come. And then if he gets stronger, like, but you got to understand, it's not normal. Mm. And we'll talk about that later, too. But it's his footwork as that 7'4" guy, like, He's willingly trying to guard guards on the perimeter, like, and he's sliding good. I'm there with it. Like, you might pass me, but
I got you. I'm
stretching. You ain't getting over it. Come on, baby.
Look,
like, his footwork is amazing.
Pop is prepping him for the league, but I think Pop is also prepping him for his departure. Mm-hmm. Of like, you're not gonna have a coach. Realistically, I'm gonna be honest, you're probably not gonna have a coach that's gritty like me.
Yeah.
That's gonna make you play harder on defense than you do offense. Because we see you can score. We get that. But go out there, get 8 blocks, get 20 rebounds. Try to.
So how long you think Pop is willing to stay for Wimby? Because Pop is up there, bro.
Pop got about two, three more years. Then he's done. I think he'll be there for these right now. His freshman year, his sophomore year. I think by his third year lead, Pop gonna do curtain call. And then that's it. But yeah. I'm agree with you. I'm gonna go with Luka.
Man.
For reaching 40.
Yeah, Luka. That's the only logical one I can think of right now. Of course, it's a lot of good scorers in the league, but I don't got nobody. Because all the best scorers in the league right now has already been in the league like six, seven years already.
Yeah,
so.
KD's not touching it.
Yeah, KD's not. I don't know.
I don't think KD can get 4,000. 40,000. I don't.
I think he can. I think he might.
I think he'll crack 8 Kobe's 80 games.
I think, well.
Before he do that.
I don't know. It depends.
He could.
I don't know that. I feel like anybody can do it at this point.
Yeah, you're right about that.
But moving on to some college stuff. First, shout out to Juju. Mm-hmm. She just passed Kaitlyn's record, freshman record, for points in a single season. She's currently at 801 plus right now. So, nice. Man, Juju is a baller.
Congratulations.
I think she's at number 4 on the list.
Nice.
Yeah, Juju.
Problem. She's talented, man. Very talented.
Very talented. Then going, speaking of Kaitlyn Clark, she passed Pete for most points scored in NCAA Division I basketball, where you talk about men's or women.
Yep.
And she also passed Steph for most threes made in a single season. So shout out to Kaitlyn Clark. Mm-hmm. That girl, man. She definitely gonna change the game.
She is. But I'm waiting till we get to the subject, because I heard some just some shit.
No, we can go right into it, man. I know. I know y'all probably seen it. Cheryl Swoops was talking about, she talked about Kaitlyn and Angel Reese on Gibbs Arena podcast, or show, I should say.
Yeah.
And pretty much had comments about their transition into the WNBA, if you want to break that down a little bit.
I personally think that, well, first I want to say, I think that a lot of people are trying so hard to discredit the amazing collegiate career of Kaitlyn Clark. Because it's like the Pistol Pete thing. Oh, she didn't really get it because there wasn't a three-point line when he played. And it's like, realistically, yeah, if you would add a three-point line into Pistol Pete's career, he would average about almost 50 points a game.
But you know what I hate about that argument? Is why then you can't be mad. If you're going to say that, don't be mad when we say Kareem only made one three-pointer in his whole career. So, do LeBron really got the scoring title? I don't know.
No, for it, seriously. It's the same thing. Or it's like when people say that, oh, Stockton. Because I heard someone say, like, off topic but on topic, it's like, oh, Stockton's assist record isn't that impressive because he dunked it down to Karl Malone and he was giving simple passes. When the person still has to make the basket for it to be an assist.
And see how they, like a guy came out talking about maybe they were stat padding.
Yeah.
With that, so now they trying to like discredit some of the.
Yeah.
But he's still 3,000 assists
And like, even if you take out like 1,000 of it, he's still more. All right.
What are we talking about?
So it's just like, all truth, no shade to Cheryl Swoops and some other people who discredit her. Please respectfully shut the hell up. Like, the girl is balling. Give her credit. Oh, well. Like, I heard someone today said that she's not the best scorer in college basketball. She's the best scorer in women's college basketball because they don't like how they add everybody's factors into it. And I'm like, it's still, I just care about the sport at the end of the day. Just give her credit, because Cheryl Swoops' comments was that her game isn't going to translate well to the WNBA. I think that is fair criticism with certain players. But if you really look at how she is, it's fair to say right now we're not going to call her league MVP in the WNBA. But I think to also, on the other end, to call her a bust, or like to insinuate that she's going to struggle a lot, is unfair too. I think that, because if Aaliyah Boston can adjust well in her first year with the Indiana Fever, and she's not the player like Kaitlyn Clark, I think Kaitlyn Clark's going to be fine. I don't think she's... Yeah. I'm not giving her rookie year. I'm not giving her MVP right now. She will have a good first year, and we'll just see where it goes from there.
Yeah.
But it's just like, when it comes to certain individuals, it's just unfair to already rule them out. And I think you can acknowledge that it's going to be tough, but to just say, oh yeah, she's not going to be good. No. All right, come on. Come on, that's just unfair. That's unfair criticism.
I think me listening to when she was having that conversation, I think some of the points that she made, I can understand it, you know, it also depends on what organization you're going to when you get in the WNBA or just in the league or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think the difference when you're talking about WNBA versus the NBA is just that leeway some of these rookies be having.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, the rookie ain't really carrying a team on the WNBA side like the rookies. They want the rookie to carry a team on the NBA side.
Look at Wimby.
Exactly. You know what I'm saying? So I think she was trying to say, like, her style of play may not transfer over to the WNBA just because she's going to be placing the system. Mm-hmm. And they're going to pretty much try to shut that down. But I think when you do have, I don't know, me personally, I just feel like it's just, well, one, I want to speak to her, Caitlin Clark's mm-hmm. greatness in the college ball. I ain't going to speak pro, but man, this is some of the greatest things we've seen in our lifetime. Like, we've seen a lot of accomplishments going on in regards to basketball. Mm-hmm. Even, like, we just strictly talk about women's basketball. Honestly, in our right now, that we're witnessing right now. And I had a hot take because she crafted her game after Steph.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And just looking at her game, I had a hot take. I said, she brings, in regards to the women's game, mm-hmm. and in regards to the women's game, she brings more to the table than Steph.
I don't disagree with that. I don't.
In regards to the women's game, she brings more to the table than Steph do.
And it's because she does more than Steph.
Does more.
Like, she'll get you 30, but she'll get you 2 steals. She'll get you 9, 10 rebounds, 10, 9, 11 assists. Like, that's not crazy to say that. Because it's like, I know last time we was talking about, like, Sabrina and uh-huh. Steph, and we were talking about, like, the WNBA and women's basketball in general. There's ballers in the WNBA, and she is a goddamn baller. Like, she's, I don't think she's going to struggle. I think her three-point percentage will take a dip.
Yeah.
Because I think that happens a lot when you go from college to the NBA. Look at Buddy Hield's first 2 years in the NBA. Mm-hmm. Three-point percentage was garbage compared to college. Same thing with Trae Young.
Yeah.
Just because, faster game, different strategies, different personnel, different teams in the system.
And everything is not ran through you.
Exactly.
Like it was in college.
Exactly. But who's to say she won't go on the team and it's the plans redid?
Yeah.
Like, let's say she does go to the Indiana Fever. All right, y'all, we agree to give her the ball, right? Yep. Cool. Like, break. Yeah. That can happen. Will it be successful? We don't know.
We don't know.
But it's just like, I get what Cheryl Stoops to an extent is trying to say of, like you said, the transition is going to be different.
Yeah.
She's not wrong there. But I think you're wrong in trying to say she's not going to adjust well at all.
Yeah.
That's where I think it's unfair for anybody.
But responding to those comments, I'm like, listen to what you're saying right now. If I was a team, the way that she's playing right now and the way the state of women's basketball is right now,
mm-hmm.
I'd give her the green light.
Yeah.
Wow, you be dumb if you don't give her the green light.
Yeah.
So you never know. Like, some, and I think this comes back to the coaching or just the personnel at the top. Like, sometimes you're going to have to make those decisions like, hey, this is where we play, but listen, we got this generational player coming up right now. We gotta run it through her.
Yeah, that's true.
So the system that Cheryl might be talking about is, and it's definitely way different from when she played.
Yeah.
So the system that she may be talking about, it may be changed.
Yeah.
It might change.
Yeah.
It's a different time, man.
It's a different, it ain't like back then with the Sparks in the comments and the Swarm. No, this is different women's basketball. The Aces is kicking everybody ass.
Everyone.
Like, the Indiana Fever are doing really good. Phoenix, the Mercury are building a super team. Like, she is going to have more room to shine than if this was 1997.
Yeah.
So give her credit, like you said, to the modern day. But it's tough for me because I am someone who does believe that some players won't translate well to the NBA or the WNBA when they change over. Like, it'll take them some time, but they won't do great at all.
Right.
But there's just certain individuals who are going to be fine.
Yeah.
And she's one of them. She's one of them.
Well, honestly, anyone that can shoot is fine.
Yeah.
Because that's how, like Vince Carter, for example,
mm-hmm.
one of the most athletic athletes in the world.
Yes.
But he needed that jump shot
because
he got older, knees got weaker.
Yep.
And he can't do everything. Kobe, too.
Kobe, too.
Kobe, too. You can't do everything you used to do when you was younger, but you got a shot.
You got a shot.
You always have a shot.
You always have a shot.
If you got a shot, you always have a shot.
Exactly.
So,
because it's like, look at Ray Allen.
Right.
He was dunking on everybody his first few years in Milwaukee, and then years started going by. Like, I'm going to just keep jacking because it was working.
Yep.
He still shot 40% of his career, which is amazing.
Amazing.
But then you know, even look at people like Jordan, like the shoe was going, the athleticism was going, develop more of a shot, develop more of a post game. Shoot, who was it? Dirk. Dirk could always shoot. Mm-hmm. And you know, being 7'1" won't enough at some point, like the last parts of his career. Because when you're going against strong people like LaMarcus Aldridge, you're going to paint against bigs like Dwight Howard, Udonis Haslam. It's like, all right, this mid-range going to work.
Going to have to.
And it did.
It going to have to work.
Caitlin's Clark game has more pros than cons.
Yeah.
How will it translate to the WNBA? We will have to see. But let's not throw the baby out with a bathwater.
Yeah. Yeah. I think she'll do great. Looking forward to it. Definitely looking forward to this March Madness. I'm tuned into the women's.
Yeah.
Saying that right now.
Yeah.
I'm tuned into the women's. The guys, I ain't going to look at that until the Final Four.
To my team. I'm going to watch when my team play. You know, go talk. Yeah. I'm going to watch when y'all play.
And of course, let me take a break, bro.
Look at the
let me see what Longwood doing right now.
Yeah. While we also taking this break.
Slight break.
I do want to shout out my sponsors, Chalet Clothing and Katana Creations. Go check them out. Great Black-owned businesses, great Moran businesses, great people. And I also do want to give a shout-out to everybody who listens to the show, everybody who listens to my show, everybody who genuinely loves the game of basketball.
Facts.
We appreciate y'all.
Facts, facts.
And shout-out, since we was talking about women's college basketball, happy Women's History Month to all the great women out there. Keep being great, keep excelling, and keep going strong.
Big facts. And Wood is up right now.
All right, let's go.
By 21, so we got that.
Oh, that's game. That's game. That's
ball game. We got that. We go, you know what I'm saying? We're going dancing.
Man.
Oh, man. But any final thoughts on the Caitlin Clark topic?
Final thoughts? Look, when Stephen A. said that if she wins this year, she could go down as the greatest college basketball player ever, period. All I'm going to say is that's a fair argument.
It's a fair. Everything is fair. Like,
she still got competition with Kareem and Bill Walton.
Of course, yeah. Kareem having... he didn't lose from
high school
through college.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
And Bill Walton was just a dog at UCLA. And Candace Park at Tennessee was fired, too.
Yeah, can't forget that.
Maya Moore at UConn.
Maya Moore. I mean, UConn just got... UConn wasn't fair.
That's just not
fair. I want to say, like... We talk about UConn. UConn's
120-plus games. Didn't lose. Damn. Yeah,
they ain't another... They ain't another thing.
No, it's... Regardless, if you don't put it at number one, if she wins it all this year, she's top five college basketball players ever. Nice. I'm putting her up top five.
Facts. And then in the next 3 years, Juju up there.
Yeah, I say that too. I'll agree.
We fine with the record right now, but Juju coming for that.
She is.
Unless y'all change something on the women's side where she can go to the league before her senior year.
Yep.
But other than that,
you gotta be 21.
Yo, other than that, I got Juju. But we gonna move on to our game picks for this week. Last show we did games from the 22nd through the 29th. It was 24 games overall. I was 500, 12 and 12. My boy Aaron was below 500, 10 and 14. But this week,
it's all right.
We won't get back. You know what I'm saying? It's always tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And that past ain't shit for them.
For quoting those lyrics the Globular. Bro, I was listening to that on the shout out to the Black Dads podcast. I was listening to that this morning. He shouldn't have used that. I got what he was saying, but these pastors, Lord, crazy, we can make that up for the brothers. It's on my show. Fuck it. Like, God, somebody gonna talk crazy about it. Lord have mercy.
Oh, man. But Tuesday, this week, March 12th, First game, we have 76ers versus the Knicks. We have the winner for that one.
I'm going to give it to the 76ers. Points leader. Points leader, I'm going to say, is Brunson.
Assist leader.
No. I'm going to switch it. Points leader is Maxey. Assist leader is Brunson.
And then rebound leader.
I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say OG.
Okay. So I had the Knicks winning.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go Brunson for both.
Okay.
Points and assist leader. And then I had Hart. Josh Hart.
As a rebound leader?
Rebound leader.
Okay.
He be snatching.
He do.
He be snatching.
He do. He was doing that shit when he was back in college, too, really.
No, big facts. And then our second game on the 12th is Timberwolves versus the Clippers.
I'm going with the Clippers. Get better, Cat. Get better.
Oh, facts.
Yeah, my meniscus is always an interesting injury. Yeah.
Points leader.
Points leader, I'm going Ant.
Assist leader.
Harden.
And then rebound.
I'll go Gobert. It's low-hanging fruit, but might as well.
We had the same options for that one. Okay. I'm going all the same with that one.
Okay.
And then Thursday games, March 14th. So the first one is the... Another one of Suns versus Celtics.
I'll go Boston.
I was waiting on the game yesterday to finish before I made my decision on this one. I'm going to go Boston as well for the winner. Points leader.
Points leader. I'll go KD.
Not bad choice. Celtics, they playing in Boston.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they want to win, KD won't have to. I don't know if Booker going to be back or not.
No, Booker not back.
I'm going to go KD as well.
Okay.
Assist leader.
Tatum.
Assist leader. I'm gonna go Holiday.
Okay. Not a bad pick.
And then
a shout out Drew. Yes. I know he was celebrating his wife and the women's soccer team making it further in the tournament. So shout out to them. Good example of a good married couple.
Mm-hmm. And then rebound leader.
I'm actually gonna go Tatum with that. Okay. I think he just gonna get motivation this game.
I'm gonna go Nurkic.
Not a bad pick. 13 rebounds. But he had it in a quarter.
Yeah. That 31 game is crazy.
I'm still picking Tatum, but damn, like,
yeah, that's crazy.
If Nurkic get it, he get it.
Facts. All right, so second game, Mavericks and Thunder. Dang, close one.
I'm going to give it to the Mavericks. Luka is the assist and rebound leader, and SGA is the scoring leader.
Damn. The West is crazy.
The West is.
I'm going to go with... I'm going to go with Thunder.
Okay.
Well, Thunder, then I'm going to go... You said Luka points and assists?
No, I said SGA
points. Oh, SGA points.
Luka assistant boards.
And Luka assistant boards. I'm going to go...
gonna take a different route. I'm gonna go Luka points. I'm going to go Kyrie assists.
Okay.
And then rebound. I'm trying to see if I'm gonna stick with this one. I'm gonna stick with Lively.
Okay. That's fair.
And then rebound leader. Yep. So those are our picks for this week. Let us know y'all.
I like it.
Let us know y'all picks in the comment section.
Oh yeah.
And we're gonna take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Unfiltered Brothers is on Patreon. Be sure to become a member and show your support for the podcast. Your support will help us invest in our business to help the podcast grow and expand our brand. There are three tiers you can choose from. Get early access to the audio and video of the episodes the day before is available on streaming services and YouTube. Be the first to know about special announcements and get access to exclusive episodes or content. 10% of Tier 3 will also be donated to a charity of our choice at the end of each year. Thank you in advance. Now back to the episode.
And welcome back to You Reaching or Teaching. So a proposal question on social media for the week. So March Madness is here. And I just wanted to know, what are y'all top five college teams? Not just the overall teams. Of course, you're going to be like Duke, UNC, Kentucky,
yep.
Kansas. Who else? You can put UConn in there for this generation. Who else have stood out? Villanova, maybe.
That's a Villanova.
Of course, Arizona. You can throw Gonzaga up there, but they've been...
Arizona.
Yeah. I'll pick Arizona before Gonzaga.
Same.
So I wanted to know y'all top five teams specifically, like the year of the team, your top five teams of your generation that you've seen. And I want to start 5-1.
Okay.
All right. So my number five, I'll start. And I'm going to throw some honorable mentions in there too, because I got some a lot of favorite teams that didn't happen.
Man. But, this is more so going to be your segment because I'm still thinking. But
my number five is Syracuse. Okay. 02-03, their championship season. Carmelo, they beat Kansas. They beat Kansas that year.
Mm-hmm.
That's my number five. I thought they was on. Who else they had? Warwick, that's the name. Hakeem.
Yep.
They had him on the team. They my number five. You want me to go, and then you go?
You keep going. Right, cool. You keep going. Because right, I'm cool. Still thinking. I may not get five. I'm going to get my number one.
So, Syracuse was number five. And then number four is UConn, 2010, 2011. Kemba year. I feel like no one was going. I don't care who you put in front of Kemba. Kemba was going to get that championship that year. they also have Jeremy Lamb on that team that year. And he had Shabazz.
Muhammad?
No, not Muhammad.
Napier.
Wow. Coming off the bench that year. He was a freshman that year because he won in 14 for his senior year. And then number three is UNC 04-05's team. That was Raymond Felton, Marvin Williams, Rashad McCants. Who was that? Sean May. As the center. He was on that too. I forgot who they beat. Oh, they beat Darren Williams that year.
I got you.
And then my number two, UNC again. But it's the 08-09 team. And they had Ty Lawson, Danny Green.
Yeah.
Who else they had? Ellington, Davis, Tyler.
Yep.
Both Tylers. Zeller and Ansboro.
Yep.
So that's my second team. And then my first, number one, is two teams combined because you have to. It's 05-06 and 06-07 Florida Gator teams with Al Horford, Jakeem, Noah, and Corey Brewer.
Yeah,
like that back to back run was special. So that's my 5-1 Syracuse, UConn,
two UNC teams, and then the Florida Gator teams at number one.
Man, that was good. I like that. For me, my number one would be the Syracuse team with Melo. My number two is going to be the UNC team with Ty. What you said, 08-09?
That was you talked the Ty Lawson one? Yeah, Ty that was the 08-09.
My number three is the Florida Gators team with Al Horford and Jakeem Noah. My number four, this is just personal.
Yeah. See, that's why I threw the honorable mentions. Yeah. I got a lot of favorite.
This one is just personal, but I'm throwing it in there. Buddy Hield's Oklahoma team, his senior year, was it 18?
I believe so. Yeah. Buddy Hield was a problem. He was a problem too in college, bro.
He was. So that team, just because it's like, I think that was an example of seeing how the 3-point game has been changed. Because it's like they were doing interviews with him about how he became a consistent shooter, how shooting, because it's like it's been proven that shooting in a gym with a ceiling versus without a ceiling does affect your shooting because it affects your depth perception.
Yeah, gotcha.
So it's just like he was numb to that because being in the Bahamas, won't know inside gym. Yeah. He was all outside.
Outside, yeah.
So it's just that actually helps him get more art and get higher with it so he knows, boom, I can make that. Mm-hmm. So when it came to having a ceiling, it was like, I still got this. Don't matter. Boom.
That's what's up.
So
I wouldn't have thought about that, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like he's approaching that mindset of like, I've shot through adversity. I can shoot with a ceiling. Like, that ain't no problem for me. And this is like, okay.
You got it.
So that's my number four. And my number five, you know I'm a diehard UNC fan. I'm picking this out of respect.
I want to say, do you want to say it?
No, I'm saying it. I'm picking this. I
want you to lose your card.
No. I'm picking this out of respect. I'm going to say the Duke team with
Austin Rivers?
Yes, with Austin Rivers. That was a very good team.
What, that was 12, 11, 12?
12.
Because AD got dry. Yeah, 11, 12.
Now, I love the UNC teams with Reggie Bullock. that was a good team too, but I'm gonna get that Duke team the fifth slot. They were very good.
Man, I ain't gonna cap. All right, so some of my favorite teams from college over the years, Kentucky got a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
So when the John Wall year, him, Cousins, Eric Bledsoe, what's the guy named Patterson?
Mm-hmm. What, Patrick Patterson?
Yep.
Yeah.
It was another one on there, but they had that team was stacked.
It was,
and before we even started this, we was like we was talking about just pretty much high school players, and you was talking about Frank.
Oh, that Kansas team?
Yeah, you were talking about Frank, but just looking at John Wall through high school, like his mixtapes, and then seeing him on Kentucky. I was like, hell yeah, this boy could be a problem. So, yeah, that Kentucky team and then the Kentucky team with, it was like Booker, Cat. Man, it was a lot of them motherfuckers. Tyler Ulis.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was on there? What's his name? The other center.
Not Carly Bam. Stein. But yeah, Carly Stein. Because then later.
Trey Lyles.
He was on there too.
Yep, he was on there too. Yep. Dang. Oh, and
I didn't know that.
Yep. Who else? The Harrison twins.
They're a problem.
Who else? Who else? It was, yeah, some other favorite ones. Of course, you can throw AD championship in there.
Mm. I would say which we'll call it. I like Bam and De'Arians Kentucky team.
Oh, yeah, that was a good one.
Because Malik, because Monk was there. Yeah.
Yep. Damn, that was a good. Yeah, Kentucky had a lot of teams.
That was a very modern Kentucky team.
I liked Michigan. With Trey Burke.
Mm. That was like, a good team.
Trey Burke was bought. Remember, was it? I think Louisville. Who won this year? Who won that? Did Michigan beat? Because I think it was Michigan versus Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that was the championship or that was just like.
No, because Kansas won it.
Yeah.
Kansas won it.
Yep. But yeah, that year, Michigan State had some teams too.
Yeah.
course, Draymond teams. Kansas has some teams, especially with the Morrison twins.
You know, the team. Robinson. For me personally, this is another personal one. I like Mobamba's Texas team when he was there. It's just. That team just felt electric.
It's like that 2011 VCU, man.
Yeah. What the fuck you talking about? Yeah, 2011 VCU. What
fuck they talking about?
Oh, Larry Sanders was on the team?
Yeah. Man, yeah, that team. I'm gonna be in class while this stuff was going on, man.
Yeah, I was in middle school when that happened.
Was hype. I was like, damn, can I go to Richmond? They ain't in Richmond. They're not even in Richmond. Yeah, but yeah, definitely. That was an exciting time.
That was
an exciting time.
Because Shaka Smart was coaching, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That was a good ass.
What's crazy? Good year. I didn't know one year. Dude, he in the NFL right now, but he played at for the VCU basketball.
Talking about Ollie Cox.
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
I didn't know he was nice at football.
I didn't either. I was like, damn, they didn't give you a chance in ball.
Yeah, no, not at all.
He said. Because he, I know he went to the Colts. I'm not sure if he's still in the Colts or not.
I think he is.
Yeah. But yeah, that was some of my, like you said, Duke, Austin River team. Shit, Zion Williams team.
That was a good team. That was. Because Cam Reddish, RJ Barrett, Zion. That was a three-headed monster.
It's been some great teams, man.
Yes.
Let us know, y'all teams in the comment section.
We're going to see some good ones.
Yeah, you know. But definitely want to move on to our next topic. You know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't fuck with bullshit. You know what I'm saying? Keep that bullshit on the other side. We ain't dealing with it. But nah, man. We want to get into the No Bull Tour, which consists of Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, and Luke Longley. How we feel? Well, first, if y'all don't know what this is, so these three are going on tour, starting in Australia, pretty much giving their perspective, their basketball experience, as well as commenting on the Last Dance documentary.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about this nonsense?
Look, man, I think it's a bunch of bullshit. Like, this is my thing. If you watch the Last Dance documentary, I would ask those gentlemen, I get that your experience with Mike wasn't perfect, but was there anything in the documentary that he said directly that was like, fuck y'all? No. Scotty, he literally told them, there is no me without you.
Literally. He been saying that.
He been saying that for
since
years.
He been playing.
And he even praised in the documentary. It was like, I needed Scotty. Like, Dennis was in foul trouble a lot, and I was by myself. I needed you.
Right.
So that's done. I know him and Horace Grant don't have the best relationship, but Horace Grant, let's be real, you didn't do as well as you could have all the time with Jordan. You couldn't. Like, they let go of Charles Oakley for you, bro. You didn't show up to work all the time. Of course someone's gonna be on your ass that care. Now I don't know if it's true or not that he told the people on the plane that he can't eat. Like, if it is, like, that's a little extreme, Mike.
That is extreme.
But he has the right to want you to play well. They got you for a reason. Come on now. And then Luke Longley, I don't know who the fuck you are. Like, we just done right there. But I just think it's a bunch of crap. If you want to be mad about how you were portrayed, quote unquote, in the documentary, do that with the people that made the documentary.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be doing it at Mike didn't be like, yeah, let's do this shit. Like, yeah, write it down. We're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about that. Like, Scotty, the biggest thing you didn't like how you were portrayed with not going into that game.
Yep.
And you didn't like about how your contract went.
But that's shit that happened.
Yeah.
We've been through about that. It's documented. Yep. We didn't need a documentary to know about your financial problems.
Nope.
Or how you waited until the season.
To get surgery.
That you could have did off season.
You could have did it off season. And you would have came back probably around Christmas. But you would have played majority of the season.
Yep.
But no, you waited till ring night.
Yep.
And you was like, yeah, I'm not playing at all.
That's on you.
That's on you. You can't be mad. You know, I saw this. I heard this quote. I forgot if it was in a movie. or no, it was on a reel. Someone said, "I can only sympathize with your bullshit for so long, because at the end of the day, you are the common denominator. What did you have to do with the situation?" Mm-hmm. Let's look into that, Scotty. Let's look into that. You made a bad deal.
Yeah.
You stunted your own money because you didn't do business. Now, that's not all on him, because when you come from a very poor background like him, money is money. Yep. So when you see million, you, woo, oh yeah, I signed that. But you didn't see that, hey, even the person who made the contract told you, you can negotiate for a better contract. And you said, nah, I'm good, fuck it, sign it. Yep. And he said, okay, don't come back here. Because once you sign that dotted line, it's done.
It's done.
Like,
and no negotiating after that.
No negotiating after that. It's signed. No. You signed that horrible ass contract. Mike didn't sign it for you. Mike didn't tell you to sign it. You a grown ass man. Yeah. And then with the whole situation with the last shot, do we know if you could have made it? Maybe. I don't know.
It don't even matter.
It don't even matter. Y'all needed to win. And it's, you let your ego in the way.
I hate stuff like that. Especially, my first thing was, all right, cool, y'all can do what y'all want. Y'all can go around. I don't care where y'all go to. Talk about whatever you want. But my thing is with this, when I first heard it, I was just like, I just feel like, especially with Scotty, you've been in the news, or the media, I should say, for all the wrong reasons, my boy.
Yeah.
Your ex over there, John, tripping. You mad because she got your boy, son, in the hotel rooms now. Now he the one smacking four times. What she said? Her and Scotty was doing it like four times a night or some shit. I say that's cat. This is an NBA player.
Four times.
This is an NBA player. A Hall of Fame NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
What? I don't know how many Olympic gold medals you got. You got the one with the Dream Team.
Yeah, I think Scotty got one or two.
But you're a Hall of Fame player. You got time for sex four times a day with your wife?
Hey.
If you do,
cool.
Big ups to you. But she doing that with old boy now.
Six times
a day. She doing that with old boy now, Jordan. She rather have that name than yours.
Yeah.
All right, so you've been in the news for all the wrong reason. Like you said, Luke, where you come from?
Yeah, he just wanted to check.
Where you come from? I just feel like it's just them, especially around in this time, seeking attention.
Yep.
And now they're doing this. You know what I'm saying? Like, yep. Just trying to find a way to stay relevant.
That's what
in this day's time. Like, Horace Grant was like, you know me, I'm going to speak my mind.
Yeah.
Bitch, why ain't speak your mind when you was winning these three championships?
He was quiet then. They was winning.
You was quiet then. And then he was like, the X factor between the first three-peat and the second one is out with a Dennis Rodman ass. Relax.
We know that's not true.
If that was true, y'all would have got past him.
The Pistons.
He was in Detroit.
Yeah.
If that was true. All right. So let's stop capping for the camera.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But, like you said, I ain't going to really add too much because you pretty much said it all. Y'all, it's some bullshit.
Yep.
This whole thing is some bullshit. Y'all can go around speaking of the experience you had during that time. But if this really is something y'all doing just to tarnish the name of Jordan,
mm-hmm.
y'all got some ass for that.
Yeah.
Y'all really ass for that. And Scotty, your comments don't be adding up. Like, you be switching how
you
feel
you.
Every
you.
Single fucking day.
I was going to bring that up. Thank
every
you.
Single day. One day, yes, Jordan is the GOAT. The next day, nah, he's the worst player I ever seen. Did you see him when he first came in the league? Yes, we seen him. Fucking 28 points a game when he fucking got in the league.
30.
took his team to the playoffs.
Yep.
And then he got hurt the following year.
Mm-hmm. And came back and took them back
and
to
then
the
came back and took them.
And then got this the 63-point game.
You won't shit when you first got in the league. You got in the league, what, 87, 88?
87.
Or something like that, bro. That first 2-3 years, it was iffy for you.
You were great defensively.
But you won't get no bucket.
Nah.
Like,
no.
Come on now.
It's like Scottie Pippen's one of my, and I leave it at the sport. He's one of my favorite players of all time. I say he's a top 10 small forward all time. But Scottie, like you said, you can't keep going flip-flopping. And the biggest thing to add with that too, I'm going to leave the biggest thing. One thing too, I just think Scottie, you need to go to therapy, bro.
You do. It's a lot going on for you, bro.
You need to go to therapy because I really think something's off with you. But the biggest thing is, I don't know if you notice or not, but that man you keep talking about who got the 6 rings with you, don't care. Mike don't care. It's like, realistically, I thought I met some I don't care ass motherfuckers. Michael Jordan don't care. He making
his money. I'm about to say, making his money, he don't comment or nothing.
And we
be trying to force him to talk.
Yeah,
we be mad at this nigga because he don't talk.
Yeah, but it's like, realistically, I think Mike don't care because he won at the end of the day. I think he probably
would say. And that's my thing, too. It's like, how y'all mad y'all winning? Like, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Y'all won at the end of the day. How can you be mad at a nigga? Obviously, he did this for a reason.
Yeah.
It worked out at the end 6 times. So what? Especially Scotty. Yeah. What the fuck can you say? Why is Scotty? He the one that pissed
you
me
You won,
off.
Too. Technically, you haven't lost in the finals, neither.
Technically. But I think what Scotty mad at, he was always 2 to...
Number 2.
He was always 2 to Jordan. And then Kobe came in the lead and fucked him up.
Yeah.
In that conference finals, after he crossed him up and threw the lob to Shaq out there. I think he a little salty.
Look.
I think he a little salty.
And you know, realistically, I think that for every number 2 out there next to a number 1, know that that number 1 does need you.
Exactly.
I think that there's... It's like Batman, because I'm a big nerd, y'all know from Handsome and Handsome and Nerdy. Batman needs Robin.
Yeah.
Batman, we can say he's greater than Robin. We can say he kick everybody's ass more than Robin. That's cool. But Batman needs Robin.
Yeah. And I'm tired of that narrative too. Even when you do talk like LeBron and when you just talk about these GOAT conversations, and you'd be like, well, LeBron had LeBron did have a lot of people.
He did.
I just want to throw that out.
And I hate when people say that he didn't have nobody. Shut the hell up. Yes, he did.
At the same time, the only shit, you can't even say that about Dirk, honestly.
Nah,
Dirk had a good supporting cast in that 2011 squad.
Yeah.
So you needed people on your team to help contribute. No matter how big that role is, as long as you playing that role and execute it well, this is what's going to get us to win the championship. Even when you talk about Giannis' championship, of course Giannis is the bigger name, but you definitely needed a Jrue Holiday to make those defensive stops, especially at the end of that last stop on Booker that he did. You needed a Middleton to make some key shots on the team as well. Like, you need play. Like, why? That's why I'll be like, once again, that's why I don't like having these conversations no more. Because y'all be talking crazy. You need people. I don't care if I'm the best person on the planet. You need somebody else on your team to win. It's a team sport. It's not tennis. It's not golf.
It's not boxing.
Definitely not boxing. Oh, my God. Anthony Joshua knocked the fuck out of Francis. Oh, my God. That was ugly. Hey, look. This one come out before. Oh, damn, never mind. I ain't gonna spill the secrets.
Okay.
But yeah, that was
clean knockout.
Knock the fuck out of me. But yeah, like, everyone needs someone on their team. It's like, you still a star. You still a Hall of Famer. I think Grant is a Hall of Famer, if I'm not mistaken.
I think Grant is.
Luke. Yeah, you off to the side.
Yeah, you know, you wore a jersey.
Yeah, you wore a jersey.
That's it, you wore a jersey. You wore a jersey.
But y'all all, in a sense, had successful careers.
Yep.
If you want to... I don't know. I don't want to hear... If you didn't talk about someone, character or anything personal to them during that time, I don't want to hear it 30 years later. Like, because what can you say? I don't think the doc said anything negative about their bath. Even negative about anything, their basketball career or just their...
It just highlighted the truth.
Yeah.
Scotty, it's true. It made a bad deal.
It didn't tarnish anything.
No, because it's like one of the guys, I think they said he was an equipment manager or a security guard. He was pissed at Scotty at the game, even though they made it and won. He said, Scotty, you quit on the team. Mm-hmm. You did. Because your ego. That's not bullshit. That's not a crappy narrative. You did that. And it's like he was talking about with the narrative of...
And you asked Jordan to come back, nigga.
You did! You don't remember when you...
Like, come on, man. What are we talking about?
Like, come on, dog.
The worst play you've seen, but you asked him to come back.
You asked him to come back. It's like, Scotty, go to therapy. It's okay that you weren't no superstar it's like okay. Jordan. But people will always value that you weren't just a part. You were probably the part. Because, like, if you go look back the series against the Lakers, Jordan was having a tough time guarding Magic. And he told you, Scotty, you got to get him.
Yeah.
And what happened? You was on Magic's ass like grass. You was taking him full court.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, Scotty, you're stamped. You're stamped, bro. Like, you played... If you talk about those championships, of course, MJ is 1A. Bro, you're 1B.
You're 1B. You're not even 2.
You're not even
2. 2 is like Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, bro. You're 1B when you talk about that championship run. And just what you mean to the Chicago organization, bro. Like, you have nothing to be mad about.
No.
Like, I feel like all of this just comes back to personal stuff that y'all had going on.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't want to hear anything about it. Like, this, if it's not strictly basketball, bro, I don't want to hear it.
Nope.
Y'all can say that.
Yep. But I'm done with
I'm
it.
Done with
I,
it.
That's all I had to say.
I'm done with it, man. But we're going to move on into our last segment, Reaching on Teaching. And so for this one, it comes from Draymond. He got on his podcast and he said, or pretty much he said, he believed that Wemby is not the defensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You can definitely make an argument that he can be or that he can't be. So mm-hmm. I don't want to say if I agree with it or not. But then he added, like, pretty much saying that the NBA is, like, moving the goalposts a little bit. And if Wemby gets it, if Wemby gets defensive player of the year, you might as well give Jason Tatum the MVP.
Mm-hmm.
You think, is he reaching on a teaching when he made this comment?
This is going to be interesting. Because I think he's teaching. I think he's teaching from the standpoint of talking about moving the goalpost. And I think that's fair to say. Because I'm an absolutist. If we got to do this for you, then we got to do this for me. It's only fair that way. If Wemby defensive player of the year, Tatum's MVP. And if that's his opinion, I can understand it. But I more so see Wemby getting defensive player of the year than Tatum getting MVP. But more so, I can see them both in those discussions, period. Tatum does deserve to be in the MVP discussion. I think Wemby does deserve to be in the defensive player of the year discussion because he's playing very good defense. He's putting, because if you go look, he's the blocks leader for the league. He's the blocks leader for the rookies. He's the steal leaders for the rookies. And he has the most blocks this season. I think that's fair to say he's mm-hmm. defensive player of the year. And by the MVP definition from the NBA, the MVP is the best player on the best team with the best record. Technically, that's Boston, and technically, that'll be Tatum. So if he gets it because of those things, cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's teaching not because I agree with him, but because if we're going to have that statement, I think that's fair to say.
Okay. I agree. All right, so before I get into my spiel, some stats. So when he was on there, Draymond really believes that Rudy is defensive player of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So Timberwolves currently right now is the, when you talk about this defensive rating, they are number one.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs are 23.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about blocks, Spurs are at number four. Timberwolves are at number six. Then we talk about steals. Wolves are at number 14 and Spurs are at 21. And when you talk about Rudy, he currently has 12.9 rebounds per game. Currently sits at number 2. 2.1 blocks per game, sits at number 7, and he's not even in the top 50 when it comes to steals. And then when you talk about Wimby, 10.3 rebounds per game, that's number 12 in the league. 3.4 blocks per game, that's number 1 in the league. And he has 1.3 steals per game, that's number 14 in the league. So those are the stats. I personally think, I would say he's reaching.
Okay.
Only because, like, when you do talk about the MVP, we just talked about the MVP, when you just talk about Joel Embiid, like, hey, give it to him.
Yeah, just give it to
him. So the criteria when you talk about the WMVP, the criteria when you talk about the MVP, I feel like changes.
Yeah.
Always, depending on the player that they want. Mm-hmm. To get it, so it should be the best player on the best team. But that's, we already know that's not ever the case.
Yeah.
Similar to how, you know, how many LeBron got, what, 4?
I thought he had 3.
4 MVPs.
I think so. I thought he had 3, but 4 doesn't sound.
You know how people try to argue, what he should have had it this year, should have had it that year. The same we can debate with Kobe too.
Yeah. You Kobe know, only got one.
Kobe only got one.
But Steve Nash got 2.
Steve Nash got 2. Who else got 2? Do Dirk got 2?
I don't know. I forget about Dirk. But, you know, Russ.
Well, I know Steve, yeah.
Russ got his, and they were the 6th seed, and he got his. But people say LeBron should have got it that year.
So, it's a lot of... When it comes to the defensive player of the year, it's kind of more... It's understandable.
Yes.
I should say. Of course, maybe some years you look, be like, I don't know about that one.
Yeah. That's how I felt about Marcus Smart getting it. He was in the conversation, but I don't think he should have won it.
Yeah, so it's something like that. But I think those two are different cases.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're just talking about defensive player of the year, it's just... And he kind of was talking about just the team stats when he was talking about how good they are, the Timberwolves are defensively. But I'm like, all right, bro. Of course, we just seen Ant fly ahead above the rim.
Smack this.
You know what I'm saying? Saving a block. So it's like the Timberwolves. And you got the Twin Towers there and there, too.
Mm-hmm.
You have good defensive players on the Timberwolves.
Yep, there's no Jaden McDaniels.
It's not shocking that y'all are number 1.
Yeah.
You're talking about defense ratings. But then you talk about the Spurs, it's just Wimby.
Yeah, it's just Wimby.
It's literally just Wimby. So even though the Spurs, their rating is not high, bro, what Wimby is doing, we're talking about player.
Yes.
We ain't talking about the MVP. We just talking about the defensive player of the league. And I should have looked it up, but I'm not sure, because I remember somebody mentioned it, but they was like, even though Spurs at 23, I think they said when Wimby is in the game, they're like top 10.
Mm-hmm.
When Wimby's in the game. Excuse me. So it's like, bro, we see what Wimby is doing, man.
Yeah.
And even if you want to say, like, motherfuckers got their career high on them. Motherfuckers dropped 44.
Yeah.
Embiid, wasn't that the 70-point game that he did?
Yeah.
Giannis.
Got that triple-double. 61. Yeah.
Or something like that. This, I mean, they did. I mean, look at the names I just called.
Yeah, let's say. So, he didn't do great against the bigs who are more experienced and stronger, but he kicked everybody else's ass. Okay, all right.
Yeah. But he still got 3 blocks on them, too. So, I mean.
Yeah, so, but that's why I said the goalpost point is teaching.
Yeah.
Because, okay, we have to find a criteria.
Yeah.
But. I do think that Wimby, if you want to say he's defensive player of the year, I'm not going to disagree.
He has a strong case.
He has a strong case. I think that's stronger than Tatum being MVP.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about him being top 12 in everything?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Well, top 14, so he's 12 in rebounds, 14 in steals, and number 1 in blocks. And Gobert is not even top 50 when you come to steals.
Yeah.
And we just talk, and this is just defensive stuff.
Yep.
So I'm not mad. I'm not mad if they give, if Wimby is strongly considered for a defensive player of the year because what he's done, not the team,
mm-hmm.
but what he's done in the NBA, we see that.
Yep.
And I feel, and I'm not mad if he don't get it, but I can, I hate being that person, but I can see people saying it's a narrative.
Yeah.
To give Wimby the rookie of the year as well as defense player of the year, because who having those accolades as a rookie and mm-hmm. you're about to be the face, you're about to be the face of the league.
Yeah.
You know, and his ceiling is crazy.
Yes.
His ceiling is crazy. So I can see people may thinking a narrative is about to happen, but
mm-hmm.
I just think the excuses, not necessarily the excuses, but just him explaining why Wimby shouldn't be defensive player of the year was kind of reaching.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't, yeah. like, a player, what he's doing individually shouldn't equate to
yep.
the team. Especially right. if you don't have no other defensive players
yep.
on his team, unlike the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. But that's why I say he was reaching on that.
And that's fair to say.
Yeah.
That's fair to say.
But y'all let us know how y'all feel about the comments. Y'all think Draymond was reaching, or you think he was teaching with this? If you think he was teaching, elaborate in the comment section. Let us know. But that's all we have. You have anything else you want to close us
nope.
with?
Nope. I just want to say, you know, good discussion, good episode, and that's all I got.
Right. So, before we get out of here, you know, I gotta keep up with the wood. I think we be. Let me find it.
So the game should be over by now.
Yeah, it should be definitely be over. Yes. Oh, we beat the shit out of them.
Wow.
Longwood is going, has punched their ticket to March Madness.
Nice.
185-59.
Good job.
Golly. Shout out to the Wood, man.
Good game, fellas.
Good game to y'all, man. But yeah, we're going to close this thing. Appreciate y'all once again. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, Reaching or Teaching. Support the Woke Podcast. Support the Unfiltered Brothers Podcast. Check out our other shows that we got going on. My boy Joe, as well as Aaron and Jeffrey, got Handsome and Nerdy. Okay. That first episode is out. Check that out. I don't be knowing. But it's interesting, though. I don't be knowing what they be talking about, but it's interesting, though. I was listening. I was like, what?
I was listening.
So, yeah, y'all definitely check that out, man. I think y'all definitely will enjoy that. All the nerds, all the geese, or whatever y'all consider, it's all the same to me. It's all the same.
But there's a difference, but I there's a difference between nerds and geeks, but I got you.
Yeah, man, but yeah, y'all check that out. But yeah, y'all stay blessed, y'all stay safe, and we out here.